I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the drive at 5. 30 minutes of non-stop talk with Rich Zeoli.
Trump takes his biggest lead yet over Joe Biden. I'm telling you, I know you don't believe me, but he's going to win Pennsylvania. Don't doubt me on this. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. 70% of Americans think the economy stinks. They think it stinks. And you know what's amazing? I have this story here in my formerly pangolin-stained fingers, and this is a story. It says, it's the New York Post, Trump holds a comfortable lead over Biden despite legal woes, as most find the president's term a failure. Yes, that's right. It's a failure, because it is a huge failure. But you know what's going to be a success? Friday's show, live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May. And this is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, New Jersey's premier, premier full service resort, conference center, and top beach destination wedding venue. Visit GrandHotelCapeMay.com for more information. Do it today and join us this coming Friday, May 3rd, 3 to 7 p.m. So, let's go through some of this, shall we? And I know the polls are all BS. I get that. I do. I understand that. But remember what I've told you. People lie to pollsters in terms of who they're going to vote for, but they do share their opinions honestly when it comes to the state of the country. And I know you might be saying to yourself, but how do people reach poll? How do pollsters even reach people? And I'm not a pollster, but they still have an entire industry dedicated to figuring out how people feel about things. And it's not just politics. It's how they feel about a car, a freaking cheeseburger, how they rate radio shows and TV shows. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways to gather opinions, and you change with the times. You know, I people right now will be saying, well, I've never had a pollster call my house. Well, a lot of them don't even do that anymore. You know, they find other ways to engage with voters, just like how if a company's trying to figure out if you like a product or not, they'll find other ways to engage you besides calling your house because they can't call. They're on the do not call list. Now, polling firms are excluded from that, but companies have had to figure out a way to adjust to the fact that people don't have landlines. So you might get a text that says, would you like to participate in something? There's different ways to do it. But the point is this, you can doubt the head-to-head matchup, you know, Biden versus Trump. And you should, because I think Trump's lead is actually bigger. But when people are asked their opinions on things, they tend to be honest. Republicans now are more unified around the idea of Trump's presidency and that it was a success than Democrats are that Biden's has been one. Now, this is a key point. It's a key point. And I think what's happening here is that since Biden has not locked down crazy, the other part of the Democrat Party, which is the part that votes Democrat for other reasons, and maybe that main reason is they just hate Donald Trump, they can't deny now that things were better economically when Trump was president. Overall, 92% of Republicans call Trump's time in office a success. Think about that. 92% of Republicans, whether they like the guy or not, whether they backed Ron DeSantis in the primary or Nikki Haley or Doug Burgum, they think his time in office was a success. Well, just 73% of Democrats say Biden's has been a success so far. Among independents, 51% say Trump's presidency was successful, but only 37% see Biden's as a success. Voters gave Biden particularly low scores on the economy and inflation with 34% and 29% ratings. 62% of those who say the economy is deeply important lean for Trump. Yeah, and why is that? Because they know the economy is the number one issue. That's the thing. So, Nancy Pelosi, the vampiric one, was on MSNBC a short time ago, actually, and got into some words with, I believe it was Nicole Wallace on Deadline White House. And she's got to be careful because the fangs were out. The vampiric one was not happy, and the fangs were out as the question came up about, well, I mean, Trump had a pandemic. Has Biden really rescued the economy? Take a listen.
And Joe Biden is doing that, created 9 million jobs in his term in office. Donald Trump has the worst record of job loss of any president. So we just have to make sure people know.
That was a global pandemic.
He had the worst record of any president. We've had other concerns in our country. If you want to be an apologist for Donald Trump, that may be your role, but it ain't mine. And he has the worst.
I don't think that anybody can accuse me of that.
That's Katie Turr. And yeah, you're not going to be a Trump. You'll be a Trump apologist. I want to hear that one more time.
And Joe Biden is doing that, created 9 million jobs in his term in office. Donald Trump has the worst record of job loss of any president. So we just have to make sure people know.
That was a global pandemic.
He had the worst record of any president. We've had other concerns in our country. If you want to be an apologist for Donald Trump, that may be your role, but it ain't mine. And
I
he
don't
has
think
the
that
worst.
Anybody can accuse
and
of that.
We.
Is there a longer version of that? I want
to
hear more.
Find it.
I want to hear more of the vampiric one losing her cool on Katie Turr. You know, I find Katie Turr to be quite attractive, other than the fact that she dated Keith Olbermann, which in my mind then makes her completely unattractive.
That's disgusting.
It's disgusting. So imagine Keith Olbermann kissing that neck of hers. Now imagine Nancy Pelosi ripping the flesh off that neck to drain Katie Turr's, what is it, the carotid artery or something? What do they call that?
Is it a carotid artery?
Yeah, that's the one. Or in my case, corroded arteries.
Disgusting. I didn't know she dated Keith Olbermann.
Yeah, apparently.
That's vile.
Very vile. And she's attractive.
Well, I don't think she's attractive anymore.
Is it pre or post derangement with him?
I feel like he was always deranged.
Yeah, he was always.
I liked him when he was on ESPN.
And yeah, but back then she was like 10.
Oh, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking, because I liked him then. And obviously, he's got a couple screws loose, but.
A couple?
I'm being nice here.
Yeah, something's seriously wrong with that guy.
Couple screws loose. Yeah, so I can't look at her. You know, there's some women that date a guy and you go, oof, like after that, you know what I mean? You'll find a beautiful woman sometimes has a total loser boyfriend. And then after that, you're like, I can't go near that now because I can't lower myself. You know what I'm saying? If she's got that kind of taste in men, I can't be part of that.
Yeah, you don't want to be where Keith Olbermann has been.
No. Now Pelosi would be there because she would drink Katie Turr's blood and rip her head off. A hard idea. So we'll see if we can find that longer clip. I like that. I like that very, very much. But this is Katie Turr is not wrong. I mean, I know she's on MSNBC, and I know that MSNBC is a shill for Joe Biden, and they hate Trump. But you got to wonder something about MSNBC. Do you think they'd rather have Donald Trump as president or Joe Biden? Really, for ratings purposes, I mean. Just for pure ratings purposes. I don't mean in terms of who they philosophically agree with. But MSNBC lost half their audience when Donald Trump lost the presidency. Half their audience. CNN, same thing. I mean, their golden days, their best days were when Trump was in the White House. Every day they had people tuning in who wanted to hear that today was the day he was going to be court-martialed and assassinated by his own military and there'd be a coup and he'd be taken off to prison. And people like crazy Lawrence O'Donnell would say worse than Watergate, and they loved it. And the people that hate Trump's guts, they would tune in. They would have such hope and optimism. They would be so excited about the prospect. So if you ask me, as I put the little, these are little, I don't know what they're called, little knobby thingies on the bottom of my Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters Award 2024 Outstanding Radio Show. So that I can do that with my very nice glass, beautiful glass award. I would show it on YouTube, but Henry couldn't get the cameras to work.
Yeah, that morning show must have done something, because I had no problem last night with Rooney.
Really?
Really.
Hmm. See if I can take a selfie with it.
Why are you doing that while you're hosting a radio show?
Taking a selfie with my pab. There we go. See that?
Why did you choose now to do it?
Why not?
You've had like a half dozen commercial breaks.
I was busy during the commercial break. I had to go get water. If Trump wins, Matt, I was definitely returning to 5 shows a week. Oh, no question about it. No doubt. She'll be back. Yeah, because she only does one day a week now.
I think she just does Mondays and maybe like a weekend show or something.
Yeah, they all want him back. And maybe Katie Turr is, I mean, just by stating the fact, is true. There was a pandemic. Those jobs were lost because of COVID. And then COVID ended and the jobs came back. To act like Joe Biden created those jobs is an outright lie. It's an outright lie. And what Katie Turr did was just set the record straight there. Still doesn't excuse her for having sex with Keith Olbermann, assuming that they did. What?
Yeah, that's inexcusable.
Boxing welterweight champion Ryan Garcia at Mar-a-Lago. Now, this is the guy who, what's he known for?
Being a boxer, basically. He's probably, I would say, one of the most popular fighters in the entire planet.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's got quite a following.
In boxing?
In boxing, yeah.
Man, I have not fought boxing in years. Is he fighting Tyson?
No.
No, that's... He's
Ryan
Logan Paul?
Ryan, yeah.
One
Logan,
of the Paul brothers.
Jake Paul.
I don't, whatever.
Right, because Mike Tyson's a heavyweight, and this guy's a welterweight,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, this guy's smaller.
Well, he backed Trump at Mar-a-Lago, cut 17.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, let's see what you got, bass hands.
He's shadow boxing in the clip in front of Barron Trump and Donald Trump.
Shadow box.
Donald Trump 2024.
I love it. And then I got high. And then I got high. And then I got high.
Donald Trump has a lock on sort of the crazy athlete vote.
I don't think they're crazy athletes.
Ryan Garcia.
Is he crazy?
Yeah, he's a little nuts.
I mean,
you have to be to step in the ring and do what he does. I mean, that is... His weigh-in the other night, he drank a beer before he weighed in, and then he failed the weigh-in.
In fairness, he says the craziness is an act to sell tickets to the fight and to sell pay-per-views. I don't know if that's true or not.
He's probably not wrong. I mean, look at how well WrestleMania did in Philadelphia. I mean, it made $1 trillion. Maybe not that much, but it made a lot of money.
You need a heel for those types of events. You need somebody to root against.
Well, you need over-the-top. I mean, look, they all learn from Apollo Creed. Right?
It's entertainment.
It's entertainment. It's the greatest show on earth. That's what it is. It's the greatest show on earth. And that's what they make it to be. Now, speaking of great shows, this guy, hundreds flocked to New York's Union Square Park this weekend to witness an entire anonymous man devour an entire jar of cheese balls. Now, I got to tell you, I love a good cheese ball like the next guy. I do. I love them. The Utz cheese balls are my favorite. People were interested, and soon the park was filled with revelers cheering on the mysterious figure as he stuffed the cheese balls into his mouth, still wearing his signature mask. Now, why is he wearing a mask in this?
I don't know. He's wearing an orange ski mask, and he also is wearing an orange traffic cone as a hat.
Good.
It's quite a spectacle.
Cheese balls.
Cheese ball man.
Cheese ball man. And he ate an entire tub. And those are big tubs.
No.
Well, Henry and I have been debating this, basically since the show started.
This guy's a fraud.
All right.
Since this is visual and we don't have YouTube, can you tweet it out and ask people if they think this guy's a fraud?
Well, you haven't let me explain why I think he's a fraud.
Go ahead.
So he was posting all these flyers around, you know, New York City saying, come watch me eat this tub of cheese balls.
Sure.
You know, at this location.
Yeah.
The picture he used in that, you know, promotion is him with those big, you know, giant cheese ball tubs.
Correct.
The one he ate in front of everybody wasn't that. It was a much smaller tube.
So it was a Fugazi.
It was a Fugazi.
Was still large.
And on top of that,
nonsense.
This is a complete ripoff of the Chicken Man last year in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I agree with you. And also, I mean, if he's eating the lesser cheese ball, the size, you know what I mean? Yeah, why would I give this guy any airtime? I don't want to hear this guy then.
You know what? I thought it was still a pretty large container of cheese balls, he deserves our respect.
I could do that in the sitting.
No, you couldn't. There's no way you could eat that container of cheese balls.
Wait a second. Hold on a second. Henry just challenged himself to eat an entire thing of cheese balls. Would you be willing to do it Friday at the Grand Hotel?
In
front of hundreds of people?
No, I don't know if I have the stones.
No,
to do
you
that.
Just said you just you just we
I
just
know,
heard Matt DeSantis.
I know,
you just
I
heard
know.
Henry Machette
say. I shouldn't open
say,
my big mouth.
I think if I bring you, I'll go to Costco tomorrow. I'll get you one of those big tubs of cheese balls. Will you eat it live in front of everybody at the Grand Hotel? Listen, chicks dig you, and they would love to see you do this.
As he's covered in orange cheese dust.
Yeah, and now you're talking smack against the cheese ball man in New York. So I say you step up. You got to put your money where your mouth is in life, son. You can't just throw things out there. And say things like, I can do this, and then back away from the challenge.
All right, if you buy the tub, I'll see how many I can eat throughout the show.
There's no way he's getting through that entire tub. And also, it's worth noting, Henry's going to have 4 hours to eat his tub of cheese balls. Cheese Ball Man did it in certainly less than an hour.
No, we're not giving Henry all 4 hours to eat the cheese balls. He's got to eat the cheese balls in the allotted time as Cheese Ball Man.
I don't even think he could do it in 4 hours.
Well, let's hear a little cheese ball man eating. I don't know why I'm playing this, but that's a slow Monday, I guess. Cut 16.
And today I will be eating this entire jar of cheese balls.
I think I'm just so tired of hearing about Colombia that this is a change of pace. Henry, this could be you on Friday. Beautiful women cheering you on as you shove cheese balls into your mouth. This could be you.
At the end of the event, he did hint that he may run for president. Do you want to hear that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this guy could win. You don't understand. People respect this man for what he did.
It's a sellout.
Well,
he's a hero.
He's got more support than Doug Burgum did, and I called that one wrong. I mean, that's on me. I thought Doug Burgum was going to go all the way. That's on me. I may be prepared to say the cheese ball man can win it all. Let's take a listen.
Same time next year.
Yeah. Yes. Is that how you prepared for this event?
I didn't. That's why I sucked at it. Sorry, I spit in your face. Yeah, I'm gonna throw up. Definitely, yeah.
Can I shake your hand?
No.
Can I shake your hand? Can I shake your cheese hand?
Are you sure?
Please.
Will you run for president? Yes. Yes.
Good.
I'm only 22, but when I can, yeah.
Good. I think it's fantastic.
I like that he knew that he wasn't quite old enough to run for president.
But it's on his radar, which I think is key.
Cheeseball Man knows two things, cheese balls and Article 2 of the Constitution.
Well, Cheeseball Man, when you're ready, reach out to me. I'll do some debate prep with you, and I'm going to get you there. We're going to put you over the top. Cheeseball Man all the way. Amazing. And Henry, that could be you. Just saying. Friday at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Just saying.
Henry could be Cheeseball Boy.
Yeah.
Am I not a man?
Well, I don't think you're going to eat
I'm literally older than that guy.
You're not going to eat as many. Takes a man to wipe out the entire container.
Now, the other thing I wanted to mention is Jerry Seinfeld, good for him for calling out the craziest problem we have in America right now, which is that the left has destroyed comedy. Now, I did not find Colin Jost funny at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Did you watch the monologue?
I skimmed through some. I thought
I watched
there
all
were a 20 couple
minutes
funny jokes.
It.
I grabbed the two
painful
funny ones, but for the most part, it wasn't.
It was painful, and he's so snarky, and I hate him for a number of reasons, but mainly because he's married to Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, that's another relationship that makes absolutely no sense.
No, that's just, I mean, she must have major daddy issues and really no self-esteem whatsoever, in my opinion.
Very low standards.
But this was one of the funny jokes he told. His co-anchor is black on Saturday Night Live, cut number 4.
My weekend update co-anchor Michael Che was going to join me here tonight,
but in solidarity with President Biden, I decided to lose all my black support.
Okay, I mean, that's the funniest joke. That was the 20-minute monologue. That was the funniest joke of the night.
I agree. I thought there was one other funny one. Air Force One.
It could have been funny, but it was lame because he's trying to be, I don't know, too polite or something, but it could have been funny. Got three.
Everything feels strange now. By a lot of measures, President Biden is having a very successful first term, but people don't seem to realize it. Like with the economy. The vibes are bad, but the numbers say it's strong. The economy is kind of like you on the steps of Air Force One. It feels like it's stumbling, but there is somehow upward progress.
That's not funny. That's dumb. I'm sorry, but that's not a funny joke. That could have been funny, but it's not. Well, that was lame. Why are you going to pay me to go to that stupid dinner?
Well, that was the second best joke. I don't know what you want from me. Beyond that, there was nothing to include in the show prep.
And I watched that entire freaking monologue, 22 minutes of it, and it was painful. And he wasn't funny, and you could tell the audience wasn't funny either. I mean, didn't think he was funny either. And then Biden gets up there, and his remarks fell flat too. I don't want to play that yet, but I'm going to play Jerry Seinfeld because I think the reason why is Jerry Seinfeld is right. Comedy has been destroyed because of the extreme left and all their PC crap. So he did an interview on David Remnick's The New Yorker Radio Hour. And he also discussed comedian Larry David not following the new rules because he started comedy before they went into practice. Cut 18.
It used to be you would go home at the end of the day. Most people would go, oh, Cheers is on. Oh, MASH is on. Oh, Mary Tyler Moore is on. All in the Family's on. You just expect it. There'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it? This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now they're going to see stand-up comics because we are not policed by anyone. The audience polices us. We know when we're off track. Mm-hmm. We know instantly and we adjust to it instantly. But when you write a script and it goes into four or five different hands, committees, groups, here's our thought about this joke, well, that's the end of your comedy.
Have you had that experience?
No.
Because isn't that what Curb is all about?
Larry was grandfathered in. He's old enough that I don't have to observe those rules because I started before you made those rules.
Yeah, he's exactly right. And I'll tell you something else, too. We were talking over the weekend. I went out with my buddy Lee Pervorsky and his wife and my friend Joe Adams. We had a nice dinner together. And we were talking about the movie or the show, the TV show, The Offer, which is about the making of The Godfather. Now, have you two seen this yet? I've been telling you now for years to watch
this movie. It when you told me to watch it.
And it was great,
right? Yeah, I thought it was amazing.
The thing about it, which I felt, and I'll just say this, and I got an email once a couple years ago after Trump lost the election. I'm not going to say who sent it, but the person went on to talk about how we need to adjust our content because Trump is now going to fade off into the ash bin of history, basically. And I laughed at that, and I have it printed out. And one day I'm going to ask the person who sent that email to me to sign it for me. I think I'll wait till Trump is inaugurated first, but maybe I'll just, I don't know. But I can't play that game of this is what has to happen. This is how you've got to, moderate your content. Or I'll do something else in my life. I'll go work on Trump's campaign or I'll go get a job someplace else. I don't care. I'll drive an Uber. I don't care. But I will never, ever, ever stay on the air if I can't be me. If anyone tries to control me in any way, shape, or form, and at this point they've stopped, good, I'll just leave. I'll do something. A lot of people in radio can't do something else because they're morons. Have you noticed that? A lot of other people who are talk show hosts are just, they're morons. This is it for them. This is it. If this doesn't work out for them, they can do nothing else with their lives. I did debate prep for a president of the United States of America. Like I'm good. I'll figure out a way to make some money. So I don't worry about that. That's why I can genuinely say if they ever try to tell me what I can't say or what I have to say, I'll be like, no. and they say, you're fired, I'll be like, all right, fine, goodbye. But in the Godfather, making of the offer, The Godfather, remember that sleazeball played by Tom Hanks's son, who plays the lawyer, the corporate lawyer?
Yes.
You know, and they tried to, the suits get involved and everything like this. And this is the problem now with modern day movies, Disney, how they keep all these scripts get passed around to all these corporate suits and these executives, and the result is garbage because people have to stay in their lane. The executives don't know how to program a show, and the suits in corporate need to stay the hell out of content and creativity. And that's what Jerry Seinfeld is talking about. You write a script and you start sending it around to the committees, and then you're going to get all these people who don't know what they're doing weighing in on this and then worried about the backlash to this. And then the lawyers get involved. And the result is you create content that is garbage. And that's why, I mean, you don't have hit comedies anymore. You don't even have hit comedy movies really anymore for the same reason. The studios don't want to touch them. He's right on that point. And this is why Afro Man has saved the day with Hunter Got High. And he has brought back joy to my life with this song. Now, have you had a chance to edit it yet?
No, I have not.
But what are you waiting for?
I have it recorded. I just haven't gone through to edit the second half.
I want to play this before the end of the show, the full version of Hunter Got High. It's fantastic. It really is. It's the greatest thing I've ever heard. It's the No, it is. It's made my whole day. I'm happy about it. In the meantime, though, I'll play you another great comedian, Justice Neil Gorsuch, who raised a brilliant hypothetical. No, but he did have a great hypothetical regarding the Supreme Court immunity case. I'll get to that in the next segment. I do want to mention, though, that the House Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization, the House Select Subcommittee on the Origins of COVID this week is going to have Asanto Fauci, Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor. You always have to say that by law. And also Peter Daszak, who is the scumbag who was behind the gain-of-function research and wrote that letter that was published in the journal Nature that said COVID came from a lab. COVID came from the wet market with an undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. So both of those two are going to go before the House Select Subcommittee on COVID, which is fantastic. And I think that's great. We're finally, hopefully this week, going to get some answers. Remember, Fauci did a closed-door deposition. This time it's going to be public. And what date is that, Matt DeSantis? Do you know the date?
I
think it's Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, which would be great. And I'm good. I mean, I want to hear it. I want to get clips. I'm going to watch it all day. You know me, what a nerd I am. When this stuff happens, I'll sit home at C-SPAN. I'll get a big thing of cheese balls, and I'll go crazy. I'll be shoving cheese balls in my mouth all day watching this. And you know who else is going to be there? The LoveGov. That's right. Andrew Cuomo, the LoveGov. Brad Wenstrup, the chairman of the House Select Subcommittee on the Origins of COVID-19, said after months of unjustified delays by Cuomo and his team, the former governor, the disgraced former governor, will be held accountable for his failed COVID-19 nursing home policies. This is what the chairman, Brad Wenstrup, said with Jake Tapper. Well, actually, you know what? I'll do that when I come back. I'll take a quick break and I'll come back and I'll get into that with you. Remember, Cuomo is the nursing home killer. I dubbed him that during COVID. People dubbed him the LoveGov. I dubbed him the nursing home killer. And it was very Dexter-ish when I said that. I also got admonished for saying that at the time, but I said, I'm going to call him that anyway. I don't care. He's the nursing home killer. It's like a serial killer, basically. And I think it's a great moniker. And we're going to bring it back. He is the nursing home killer. So he's going to testify, finally, and they will get answers from him. And I want to also drag Rachel Levine, who was the Secretary of Health of Pennsylvania, in front of that committee. I want to drag Gretchen Whitmer, King Philip the Unaccountable, his royal rugness. He should go there, too, for all the deaths of the people in the veterans' homes in New Jersey and the cover-up that ensued. And it's still going on, the cover-up of the veterans who died in New Jersey's nursing homes because of the state's pandemic policies related to that. I want to get all these people there. And Gavin Newsom, too. But we'll start with Cuomo, since New York's death count in nursing homes was the best. In terms of numbers, I don't mean in terms of results. It was awful. But I mean, in terms of the numbers, he's got bragging rights. He's got the bragging rights as the nursing home killer. So I'll share that with you upon my return. Friday, we're live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. I want to see you there. Please join us for our live show, 3 to 7 p.m. at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Now, you might have heard that Emmons Roofing and Siding has done some incredible work for me over the years. But you might have also heard that Emmons remodeled my bathroom and my kitchen. So the question I have for you is this. When it comes to your bathroom, is it getting a little outdated? When friends come over, are you a little embarrassed to let them use the bathroom? Well, if you are, it's time to let Emmons Design Specialists design a bathroom that you will love and one that Emmons will redo in as little as 3 days with custom designs that cater to your unique tastes. Imagine an affordable, maintenance-free bathroom that has little to no inconvenience to you and your family. 3 days time and you're good to go. It's incredible. And Emmons has finance options available. Having your bathroom renovated not only brings comfort and quality of life to your family, it is one of the best investments you can make in your home to improve its value. So don't wait for a bathroom that is truly a blend of luxury and functionality and one that is truly yours. Call my friends at Emmons today at 856-885-6677. 856-885-6677 or check out their website at callemmons.com. callemmons.com. They'll do a tremendous job for you. They are the best at what they do. And I love the results from the bathroom that they did for me years ago. And that's why I'm excited that they're going to renovate our new bathroom in our new house, or the old bathroom in our new house, very soon. EmmonsRoofing.com, callemmons.com, or 856-885-6677, and tell them I sent you.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back to the show. Very happy to welcome back to the program. She's been on with me before, but it's been a few years. Pam Bondi is the former Attorney General of the state of Florida and a former special advisor to President Donald Trump. Pam, how are you? Thanks for joining me in Philadelphia. I appreciate
it. Hey! Hey, Rich, it's nice to talk to you. Happy
Absolutely.
To be on.
Thank you for coming back on the show. How are things? And I mean, we're watching these trials. I know you're watching them, and I know you're as frustrated as I am that, you know, the former president's got to be in court in New York and not on the campaign trail. It's just infuriating.
You know, it is so infuriating because I'm a career prosecutor and a former AG, and just watching this whole upside down rigged system of justice. It's really tough. And it's, you know, I love the president. I talk to the president frequently, and what they're putting him through, putting his family through, you know, they're telling him they won't take a day off to go to Barron's graduation, his youngest son. It's ridiculous. You know, he couldn't sit in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, yet they're, you know, on a case of significance for our country for many years to come, he had to be sitting in that courtroom, and you know they're trying to gag him from defending himself. It's truly unbelievable, Rich, what's going on. But he's strong. He's the strongest human being I know.
He is. And you know, since you are a prosecutor, I mean, can you tell me what the crime here is in New York? Because Pam, I got to tell you, I've been trying to find it and I can't find it.
No, and there's not one. You know, they took a misdemeanor that does not apply, that he did not commit, and they had to attach it to 34 felonies because the statute of limitations had run. You know, Justice Department had declined to prosecute this thing years ago. The Southern District of New York, which you know is very liberal, declined to prosecute it. Yet now, lo and behold, you know, 6 months out of a campaign, they have him sitting in a trial. That's what to me, that's the ultimate election interference. And that's what it's all about. But, you know, folks in New York and New Jersey are they're tough people, and they get it too. They get what's happening to him, and if it can happen to him, it can happen to anyone.
No doubt. And this idea that by not letting voters know about these allegations, that somehow Trump would have lost the election. I don't know a single person, not a single one, who voted for Trump who would have changed their vote to Hillary Clinton if they knew about the Stormy Daniels or the Karen McDougal allegations. This is, I mean, it's the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it is. Again, this is just trying to hurt him and destroy him. But every time they do, it makes him stronger. It makes his poll number stronger. I don't know if you saw him the other morning come out at 6 a.m. out of Trump Tower and talking to all the great construction workers who love him out there. I mean, people come out in masses in New York to support him because they see what's happening. And it's just, it's backfiring for them. All these cases are backfiring for them.
What do you think of the situation with law and order in general in the country? And how does that impact voters? I've had people say to me, well, you know, the border issue is not really going to move voters this November. I disagree. I think it's going to be a big issue. I think you're seeing that with Hispanic voters who are now, I mean, Trump's winning with those voters.
Oh, he is. And I think if you just say the word border, people might not get it. But if you say crime, people get it. I mean, look at the bodega workers. Look at everything that's happening in New York. It's lawlessness, basically, in New York and in New Jersey. And nothing's happening, unlike my great state of Florida, where people really don't try to pull that stuff. But people get now what's happening at the border and the impact it's having on crime. They really do. And it's crime. It's gangs. It's MS-13. It's people robbing, people stealing cars. All of that, but it's also the drugs that are flowing into this country through Mexico, the fentanyl. You know, it's killing our kids, it's killing our adults left and right, and it's coming straight into this country from China through Mexico with these open borders, Rich.
Pam Bondi's with me. It's great to have her, former Florida Attorney General. I just saw that the former president just tweeted that he said, I'm very happy to have the full and enthusiastic support of Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. We had a great meeting yesterday arranged by my mutual friend, Steve Witkoff, at his beautiful Shell Bay Club in Hollywood, Florida. The conversation mostly concerned how we would work closely together to make America great again. Also discussed was the future of Florida, which is fantastic. I greatly appreciate Ron's support in taking back our country from the worst president in the history of the United States. November 5th is a big day. That's great. Fantastic news.
It sure is. Yeah. President Trump is a class act. And yes, we all need to be on the same side now. And I know we are, and fight for saving this country.
Well, I know I saw, Pam, that 93% of Republicans are on board with Trump. But Joe Biden does not have the Democrat Party locked down. And you see all the crazy college demonstrations that are going on. I like to say it like this. Joe Biden has not locked down crazy. And these people are not coming out to vote for him in Michigan and Wisconsin. And that's a real problem for him.
No, you're right. And when you said Trump has the Republican vote locked down, I was thinking, and he also has the Democrat vote locked down.
Yeah.
I everywhere I go, people come up to me who are Democrats and say, we support the president now. It's the economy. It's inflation. It's, you know, it's everything. It's crime. It's people see, you know, we have a president, President Trump, with a record. And we have a president with another record. And, you know, when people are going to the gas pumps, when they're going to the grocery stores, they see that, they feel it, they're living it every day, and you know, that's so impactful to Americans. And I, you know, that's President, you know, President Trump is held hostage in a courtroom every day, but you know, he's coming to a town very close to you, Rich, isn't he? May 11th, he's coming to New Jersey.
Yeah, he's coming to Wildwood. We're fired up. It's going to be a huge rally on the beach, Pam. It's going to be epic, no question about it.
I know.
Before I let you go,
it will be epic. Absolutely.
I want to get your opinion on, I mean, being a former prosecutor, the Supreme Court case on this presidential immunity. I had a laugh when I'm listening to the guy, you know, doing the arguments on behalf of the government, saying, you got to trust us at DOJ that the prosecutors won't ever abuse it and go after former presidents. And you got to just take our word for it here. I mean, it was just laughable how they covered for every single past president in American history who may have ever skirted the law. But when it comes to Trump, no, it's going to be one and done. We're going to go after him. And then the genie goes back in the bottle. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, those arguments were ridiculous. And John Sauer did a great job, of course, arguing for President Trump. And, you know, the bottom line is official acts have to be protected. Otherwise, we're going to have an endless cycle of former presidents being prosecuted. It'd create chaos, and it would make a president a figurehead because they would not have authority to do anything. And we could go back and name every president in past history who could be prosecuted for something that they did if immunity does not apply when you're president.
Yeah, well said. Well, listen, my friend, it was great to have you back on the show. Come back and see us again. Follow Pam on X at Pam Bondi, PAMBONDI, and hope to see you. I know you'll be on the campaign trail in Pennsylvania because we got to win this state. So I look forward to seeing you in person.
Ah, thanks. You too. Thanks. Bye-bye, Rich.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
And as we continue, I want to tell you the big story of the day brought to you by my buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanAria, VeneriaDental.com. Let's talk about the Supreme Court, shall we, for a moment. This idea of presidential immunity. There was an exchange between the attorney, the special counsel's little minion there, Michael Dreeben, during the oral argument. And Justice Neil Gorsuch is brilliant. I think I'm so grateful that Donald Trump put him on the Supreme Court. He is a textualist. He understands the Constitution. He gets it. And he also understands, I think, probably maybe better than anybody, the importance of due process, the importance of the protections that an accused person has to have from their government, the protections that you are afforded from your government. And he really is brilliant. And this is an excellent exchange here. Very smart hypothetical on what could occur here if we turn around and say presidents don't have criminal immunity for their actions while in office. Cut 13.
Did you agree that there are some core functions of the executive that present conduct that Congress cannot criminalize?
Yes.
Is that a form? I mean, we can call it immunity or you can call it they can't do it, but what's the difference?
We call it an as-applied Article 2 challenge. Okay.
Can we call it immunity just for shorthand's sake? So I think we are kind of narrowing the ground of dispute here. It seems to me there is some area you concede that an official acts that Congress cannot criminalize. And now we're just talking about the scope.
Well, I don't think it's a just, but I think it's a very significant gap between any official act and the small core of exclusive official acts.
I got that, but I want to explore that, okay? So, for example, let's say a president leads a mostly peaceful protest sit-in in front of Congress because he objects to a piece of legislation that's going through, and it in fact delays the proceedings in Congress. Now, under 1512C2, that might be corruptly impeding an official proceeding. Is that core and therefore immunized, or whatever word euphemism you want to use for that?
So,
or is that not core and therefore prosecutable?
Well,
without a clear statement that applies to the president.
It's not core. The core kinds of activities that the court has acknowledged are the things that I would run through the Youngstown analysis. And it's a pretty small set, but things like the pardon power, the power to recognize foreign nations, the power to veto legislation, the power to make appointments, these are things that the Constitution specifically allocates to the president. Once you get out...
So a president then could be prosecuted for the conduct I described after he leaves office?
Probably not, but I want to explain the framework of why I don't think that would be prosecution that would be valid. First, I think you need to run through all of the sort of normal categories of analysis. Is there a serious constitutional question that's posed by applying that statute to the president? If so, then you may well default to it does not apply, at least on that fact.
Well, I thought
pattern.
You said it. That was my question.
Yes,
and
I understand.
Said it fell outside that core, we'll call it immunity for simplicity's sake.
Yes, I understand. But there's a separate category.
Okay, so why couldn't he be prosecuted for leading a civil rights protest in front of the Capitol that delays a vote on a piece of important legislation.
So I think what you need to do is run through all of the very president-specific protective layers of
Let's
analysis.
Let's stop it for a quick second.
So one of them
Let's
is think, whether the
so,
statute...
Stop it just now, and just back it up like 10 seconds or so. Let's think about this now. What Gorsuch is saying here is, you know, this official proceeding thing, because that's what Jack Smith's case is all about. Remember, he's taking the Enron case and saying now you're obstructing an official proceeding. That has to do with destroying documents, that case. That issue, that law, Sarbanes-Oxley, what was passed in the wake of Enron, literally means that you're destroying documents to stop an official proceeding, an investigation. And all the examples that have been given about when the United States of America has prosecuted somebody using that, they're all regarding investigations, people that were trying to cover up an investigation or trying to do anything. So now we're getting into this notion of an official proceeding being disrupted, meaning that Congress, in this instance now, is doing their business. But now somebody's interrupted him, like Jamal Bowman did when he pulled a fire alarm. Now the question is, can the president be prosecuted for that? And you hear the United States say no. And Gorsuch is like, well, why not? I don't understand. I mean, you're telling me here if an official proceeding gets interrupted, and the president's leading a civil rights protest in front of the United States Congress and delays the congressional schedule for the day, well, why couldn't he be prosecuted? And this rambling answer from Michael Dreeben is the point that I'm trying to make, which is that the government wants the Supreme Court to believe that this will only ever happen one time, this time, and only to Donald Trump, and never again. So that's why when they brought up Roosevelt in the past, the internment of Japanese, or they brought up Nixon, or they brought up Lyndon Johnson, or they brought up Barack Obama's drone strikes, they had an answer for everything about why it would not apply to criminally prosecuting them. Okay? Would not apply to criminally prosecuting them. But then Neil Gorsuch raises another hypothetical, which is, okay, well, what about if a president literally obstructs Congress? Literally does something that obstructs a congressional proceeding. Why would he not be charged under that? And the government rambles and does not give a definitive answer, because the truth is he could be. Because if we go down this road, all a prosecutor has to do is just charge the president. That's all they have to do. And then it's up to a jury to figure out. And is that an official action? Is the president now leading that protest in his official capacity as president? Is he doing it on his own time? Is he doing it as a private citizen? How can you explain why if January 6th interrupted Congress, then he should be charged? Jamal Bowman interrupted Congress by pulling the fire alarm. He should not be charged. And if a president were to lead a peaceful protest that also delayed the start of a congressional hearing or something like that, he would not be charged. So here's Dreeben trying to answer that.
But there's a separate category.
Why couldn't he be prosecuted for leading a civil rights protest in front of the Capitol that delays a vote on a piece of important legislation?
So I think what you need to do is run through all of the very president-specific protective layers of analysis. So one of them is whether the statute would be construed not to apply to his conduct, even if it's not part of that small core of things that Congress can't regulate at all, if it operates to prevent the president from fulfilling his Article 2.
He could have given speeches against it. He did.
Yes.
But he left. He did something more, and it corruptly impeded and sought to influence an official proceeding.
Well, so I don't know. We're starting with the layers, I think, of protection, and we're now down through whether the statute would be construed to apply to him. Then there'd be a question of whether—
Assume it does.
I will assume it. Then there's a question of whether he has the state of mind necessarily
assume
to violate.
Assume he does. Okay. Nobody knows what corrupt intent means. We've been around that tree.
I think we will probably find out.
And maybe it means that he knows that he was doing wrong, is what the government told us.
Right.
He knows he's doing wrong. He knows he shouldn't be up there blocking a congressman from
going. Well, let me get to the next layer then, which is that the president does have access to the attorney general to provide legal advice, and regularly gets legal advice from the attorney general on the lawful scope of the president's activities.
Now, let's stop it right there. Let's stop it. So this gets back to the whole thing with Obama whacking people with drones And the argument the government gave in that was, well, he had a legal document. Yeah, I got this piece of paper here, and it says I can go ahead and kill those people. So I can go ahead and do it. So all you got to do then is get your lawyers at the Justice Department to turn around and write you a legal memo explaining why your actions are okay, and you're covered. Except you're not covered, though, if a future U.S. attorney turns around and says, well, I'm going to indict the people of the Justice Department for knowingly giving you advice that they knew was wrong. And I'm going to indict them as co-conspirators, or maybe they'll be unindicted co-conspirators. But now the theory from the United States of America is, well, as long as a president has this permission slip written by Justice Department lawyers, he can do whatever he wants. They just have to write him a note. Dear Mr. President, if you want to kill that guy, go ahead and kill that guy. Signed, your friends at Justice. P.S. Your hair looks fantastic today, sir. I'm going to turn around and go, you mean to tell me the people that work for you wrote you a letter saying you could kill people? Come on. Come on. We'll have more on this for you as the show continues. Plus, an arrogant New York district attorney yells at a cop who pulled her over. And Kristi Noem, the dog killer, is this the end of her political future? We'll talk about that as well. Listen, NJ Diet's going to help you lose some weight. Are you ready? You ready to shed the winter weight once and for all? For over a decade, they've helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help you keep the weight off. You are fully supervised the entire time to make sure you are burning fat and not just losing water. And you even get the doctor's personal email and phone number. Locations in King of Prussia, Cherry Hill, and Newark, Delaware, are available from home with live online video consultations. So call today, 1-855-5-NJ-DIET, 855-5-NJ-DIET, or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. You can do this, and they can help, and it's guaranteed. Get slimmer before the summer with njdiet.com.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.